Well, we're going to play a little guessing game. Guess who? Photo's going to come up on the screen. Wonder if anyone can guess who it is. If you pre-watched any of the 9:30 online, you're not allowed to answer because you already might have the answer. Anyone know? Any hands? Yes, it's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's a fun name to say, right? Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, Dietrich grew up in East Germany and as a young person was very interested in theology. He studied theology. He taught theology eventually. And the reason that I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer is I obviously didn't personally know him, but many people that have written about him since have told us that he was the type of person that believed that Christianity could not be merely intellectual theory. Discipleship for Dietrich must permeate all of life. Now, he contributed to the church this profound biblical and theological insight. He wrote about many things, many papers, many deep discussions, and yet he was a person that was sensitive to reality. He walked the talk. What was going on in his head also came out in his heart and the way that he lived. Now, it's a sad ending to Dietrich's story. He was executed. He was executed in a concentration camp in Flossenbürg in 1945 for his resistance to Hitler. But he has this great story. And he's written many papers, many books, but one I want to tell you about today is this one called Life Together. This is a book that we are basing our year here at Parramatta Salvos around because it's got such great teaching on Christian fellowship. And this book was written in a unique fellowship in an underground seminary, during the Nazi years in Germany. That's an awkward confusion, isn't it? And on the back of the book, it says, "Life together is bread for all who are hungry for the real life of Christian fellowship." The real life of Christian fellowship. And that's the theme for us this year. But you know, this theme, life together, this concept and the verse that lies central to it all is not what it appears upon first glance. And that's what I'm going to explain for us today as we look towards all that 2020 is going to be. We're going to keep coming back to this theme. So the very opening line of this book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer quotes the scripture that was so beautifully presented to us this morning, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant it is. Now, I don't know what your picture of unity is, but for me over the past couple of weeks as I've been thinking of this theme, my picture of unity has been cyclists. You see, I do some running in Parramatta Park a couple of mornings a week. And always when I go to Parramatta Park, there are these groups of cyclists and they fly around the outer perimeter. And they're in groups that look a little bit like this. And I'm always amazed because they are going so fast and they travel so tightly together and no one seems to ever crash, or so I've seen. But you know, I did some research because I know nothing. I can ride a bike, but I don't know anything about cycling. So I did some research this week. And you know when you type things into Google and it predicts what you're going to say next? Well, I typed in, why do cyclists, now I was going to write ride in groups, but as I typed, it came up with, why do cyclists shave their legs? So apparently that's what people are most interested in. But anyway, I did get into a bit of research and I found out that these groups, they actually pose a huge advantage to everyone riding in them. And it's about the collective gain. Everyone gets a little bit better when they ride in these groups together. Because what happens is when you're really good and you're riding really close behind someone, they actually take the headwind, okay? So you ride along in their slipstream, which means less resistance. Pete told me that it's actually 30% less resistance if you're really good at it, which is quite incredible. Now, there's lots of technical things, and I don't know any of them, to be honest. And I told people today, and you can do the same thing, give Pete West a call if you want to know anything about cycling. Is there any cyclists in this congregation? No one? Okay, well, just trust me. or you can Google it yourself. But really, what I see overall when I see these groups of cyclists is there is trust. There's communication between the cyclists. There is a closeness, and they're working together for the greater good of the group. It's not about an individual. Okay, at different times, a different person rotates to the front, takes on the speed and drives the group, but that person changes. And it's certainly not about leaving someone behind. It's not unlike the body of Christ, because with this group, we know that when one person does a little bit better, it lifts the whole group. And I'm assuming if one person falls off their bike, they all crash into one another, right? So there's an impact. But they are united in this common purpose, which is getting better at cycling. It's not individual. It's a collective. So that has been my picture of unity, of working together. So a little bit of context about this psalm for us. So this psalm is a song of ascent, and it's credited as a psalm of David. And interestingly, Psalm 133 is neither a praise psalm, nor is it a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist is simply expressing the goodness of unity. How good. And this word that is used for unity, for good, is the same word that God uses to describe his creation in Genesis 1 and then in Genesis 2 as well. So it's Hebrew word tob or tob. No one corrected me earlier, so I'm not sure if my pronunciation was okay, but that's what we'll go with for now. And it means good. And it's a word that God used to describe his creation, and now he's using it to describe his people when they live together. It is good. But what Bonhoeffer points out, and this is what I want to talk about this morning, is that this sense of unity is not actually about us. It's not actually about my connection with you. Unity is not the product of me being connected to you. Unity is the product of each one of us being connected to God. So let's jump right in. I've got three things I want to tell you this morning that life together is all about when we look at this biblical understanding of unity. And the first one is this, that life together is in and through Jesus Christ. Life together is in and through Jesus Christ. So this is where we have to begin when we talk about the concept of unity, about life together. And Bonhoeffer says about this, that Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. Through and in Jesus Christ. So if you're like me and you like to see pictures, I'm going to draw something for us. Now, you have to bear with me. I'm not a very good drawer, so it's going to be a very basic illustration. But I hope that this kind of shows you what this whole point is about. So up the top of our illustration, we have God. There's God, okay? And then in unity with one another, we have us. So us or you. And me. And then, what shape do you think this is going to make? Triangle. Very good, very good. So we've got these connections here, right? There's a connection between us and God, and then us and us. But the whole thing about this biblical understanding of unity and what Bonhoeffer says about unity is that actually this relationship between us and us, between you and me, is actually a byproduct of our individual relationship with God, right? And once we begin to take our focus off this and only focus on this, we get into a bit of trouble because we start seeking what the other person wants or what I want instead of what God wants. So these relationships here are a byproduct of our relationship with God here. And central to all of that is the fact that Jesus Christ has been gifted to us, has been given to us, and we know that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone and not in us. So I'm going to add a little J here. Oh, that's not a very good J. See, I'm really bad at drawing. Because we actually know that we need Jesus, right, to bridge this divide to God. We need Jesus to bridge this relationship with one another. We can't do the saving. Did you know that? We don't do the saving in other people's lives, in our own lives. We know in Acts 4:12, it tells us that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So we come to others through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's a result of our relationship with God. And this is immeasurably significant for us to remember as we understand what it means for us to be united. Life together is in and through Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to tell you about that life together is, or maybe what it is not, is that life together is not an ideal, but a divine reality. See, it can be easy to get caught up in our expectation or our ideal of what the Christian community should look like. But you know what happens? Sometimes we become disillusioned with one another. People don't do what they say they're going to do, or maybe we become disillusioned with Christians or Christianity in general. And the same happens in real life, not just in the church. And I love looking on the internet at this particular lot of photos that people post called expectation versus reality. So what happens is someone sets out, they have a picture of something in their mind, doesn't turn out the way that they expect. So I've brought some of my favourites along to show you today. This is someone who set out to make a cake that looked like Belle. Can you see the resemblance? It's not great. It's a bit of a baking fail. What about the next one? This is someone who bought a SpongeBob SquarePants costume on the internet. So this is what it's supposed to look like. That's how it turned out. Pretty average, right? Next one. Someone tried to fry some eggs to make them look like a cat, and it really just looks like an explosion. Can you see that? Next one. Has this ever happened to anyone? You have seen a luscious Christmas tree picture on the box, and how it turns out is a scraggly, not so luscious one. And then my final one, which is my favourite, is someone that set out to bake a cake that looked like a hedgehog. But as you can see in the bottom picture, it just looks like a scary, possessed something. I'm not sure. It's pretty crazy. Can you see the teeth? Yeah, it's quite frightening. I wouldn't like to give that to a kid on their birthday party. Well, sometimes it can be a little bit the same when we begin to develop ideals about the faith community. Our expectation doesn't meet the reality. When we start focusing too much on this, and we lose sight of this, we can slip. We start creating our own ideals for the faith community rather than listening to what God is doing. And you know, ideals will always disappoint because we're not meant to put our hope and trust in ideals. We're meant to be engaged in the divine reality, in relationship with God. Because it becomes less then about what I want, what you want, and more about what God wants, more about the collective good, about noticing where God is already working and partnering in Him with that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says some wise words around this, some challenging words. He says, every human wish dream that is injected into the Christian community is a hindrance to genuine community and must be banished if genuine community is to survive. He who loves their dream of community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial. See, if we love our ideals of what the church should be, what the Christian community should be, above loving one another, above loving the community that we're a part of, then it leads us to a path of destruction. makes me think, well, what do I really want? It leads me to ask this question. Do I love my ideals of what church, what this community should look like, more than I love the person that sits next to me? Because if we do, that's a challenge that we need to overcome. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. In the Message paraphrase, it says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. And you know, that might sound all a bit wishy-washy, you know, nothing else matters, just love one another. But it's not. It is the essence of who we are called to be in Christian community. Love one another deeply. And you know, because God has laid the foundation, because we get to be in relationship with God because of Jesus, because we then get to be in relationship with one another as a byproduct of our relationship with God, it actually should change our attitude. It should lead us into a place of really being grateful, being thankful because of what we were given. And that leads me to our third point this morning, that life together is a privilege. It is no doubt that it is a privilege to live in a country where we can gather to worship together publicly and we are not condemned, we're not persecuted. It's by the grace of God that we can gather together in whatever form, and it's not to be taken for granted. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, it's a privilege that because we each walk in the light, we get to walk with one another. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in which we may participate. It is actually a privilege to have this connection with one another because of our connection with God. It's no longer, I have to. Our attitude becomes, I get to, right? I get to participate in being in fellowship because of my relationship with God. So I guess the question is for us today, are you going to participate? In 2022, is your life together with Christ going to lead you to actively participate in community with others? You know, as a Salvation Army officer and as a pastor, we are told and well advised that we have to get professional pastoral supervision. It's not unsimilar to counselling. It's one-on-one with someone who's qualified, and they help us to debrief what's going on in ministry, keeping us healthy and in check. And just this last week, I had a session with my supervisor and we debriefed a whole bunch of things. But towards the end of our conversation, she said, Sarah, what is 2022 for you? What's it going to look like in terms of ministry? What are the key things? And you know, I started listing off all these things that we were focusing on, life groups and community events and, you know, connecting people in different ways. And she kind of halted me and said, yeah, I know all of that, but give me a summary. And I thought about it for a minute and I said, you know what, for me, 2022, all about connections, all about connections. People getting together in life groups, people serving together, people coming together to have fun with one another. Also, connecting outside of these walls, because we have to be all about connection out there if we want the divine reality of life together to permeate our community. See, life together is a privilege, a divine reality in and through Jesus. And when we realize these three things, Bonhoeffer tells us that we can correctly interpret the scripture from Psalm 133. Because we rightly interpret the words in unity and rather say for brothers to dwell together through Christ. Unity doesn't just happen. It happens through Christ. For Jesus Christ alone is our unity. And you know, I had the picture of unity as the cyclist before, but do you want to know what this biblical picture of unity brings? We have some nice metaphors at the end of this psalm. It says it's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. And now if you think about that really, it's kind of gross, right? This oil, this sort of, not really sticky, but it's oily, right? How do you describe oil? Oil is oily? No? Okay, it's fine. Anyway, it's kind of messy. It's kind of gross. But actually, that's not the point of what the psalmist is saying. The point is that there is so much oil, there is an abundance that is flowing down from his beard into his robe. And that is like the blessing of God when we live together in unity. That's that picture of abundance. We have more than enough. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, it is this, if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And you know, if you know anything about the mountains, you'll know that Zion was the place that Yahweh took up residence. That's where he dwelt among his people. But Zion was a smaller mountain than the Mount of Hermon. Now, the dew was needed agriculturally to keep things healthy. So it's as if this big mountain and all of its dew has fallen onto Zion. And there's that richness, that flourishing, because all of that dew is there in that place where God is. And that is where God bestows his blessing. And I believe for us, God is here. And he wants that abundance, that flourishing to happen here at Parramatta Salvos, in our community in Parramatta. Unity is good. Just like creation, unity is good and it helps us to flourish. So today we're going to respond in a different way than what we usually would. Today we're going to open up the opportunity for everyone to consider participating in the privilege of life together. Now we know that our personal quiet time with God, our prayer life, living in relationship with God, coming together on a Sunday morning to worship, that helps this relationship here. That helps this connection here. But we also know that our relationships with one another are strengthened as we do more than just sit next to one another in church. They're actually strengthened as we go and we serve together, as we study scripture together, as we get out in the community with one another, and also as we have fun together. They grow as we serve and connect and do something more. And you know, the only way that we are going to get more people in here is if we are intentional about getting out together and serving out there. So here's what I'm going to ask everyone to do over the next 5 minutes or so. You'll see up the back there is a whole bunch of colourful posters. Looks quite nice up there. If you haven't already had a look, you can turn around and see. And what they are is they're a list of all the active ministries at the core at the moment. And there's also some ministries that we would love to be able to start. We want to start a kids club, Alpha in Christianity Explained, life groups, prayer meetings, things that we think there is a need for either in our faith community or our wider community that we want people to step up and engage with. And what you're going to be asked to do over the next 5 minutes as Kim plays is to go, and if there is something that you think, yes, I want to be a part of that, there's some pens there and you can write your name on the list and sign up and learn more information about it. Now, let me just say, if you put your name down, you're not signing up for life. You're not signing up to be the leader or coordinator. It's just an expression of interest so we can gauge what people want to be a part of things. But I would encourage you to think about that, to ask yourself, how is God asking me to not just come and be a consumer, but to participate in what he's called us to in life together? I also just want to say that for many people, you already are involved in lots of ministry, and that's great. And for some people, you may not feel you have the capacity to do anything else. That's fine. But I still want to ask you today to get up and go and have a look. Maybe you can take a photo or write down some of the ministries, because we need faithful people who are going to pray about these things. We don't just need leaders who are on the ground doing them, but people that are going to pray that God would work through these things so that more and more people would come to know him, to come and live in relationship with him. And the benefit of that connection is that then we get to live in relationship with them. So that's what I'm going to invite you to do now. There's going to be 5 or so minutes, and take your time. But as Kim plays, as a response today, joining in life together, actively participating in what God has called us to, I invite you to stand and to go and look over there and see if there is something that you want to be more engaged in or that you want to pray for, because we want to see life continue to grow and flourish here at Parramatta Salvos.